Hallelujah, glory to God. Good morning. Welcome to your morning faith boost, your early morning energizer. Okay, for some, it's afternoon and then it's late night for some of us. But it's your energizer nonetheless. It's your morning, your faith boost. All right, but the show is a morning faith boost. So welcome. Thanks for always joining in. Thanks for being a part of all that God is doing here. And we believe it's been refreshing. Feel free, please let's have your comments, your feedback, your questions. You could drop a comment while listening in live. You could send an email. You could send an email to larryonosanyaministry01@gmail.com. All right, you could also send an email to rexonosanya@gmail.com. All right, so please feel free. All right, so let's have your feedback. Kindly send an email. All right, let's know how you're doing. How the, you know, this show, how it's been a blessing. All right, and then you could just communicate via other means that you might have at your disposal. So we're looking at the importance of speaking in tongues, and one important thing we have been talking about, and it is still very, very important. Yesterday, and of course the day before that, we looked at the two-part system, okay, that there are two people involved when you talk in tongues. And this is amazing. It's a blessing. You and the Holy Ghost. You and the Holy Ghost. You and the Holy Ghost. And one of the things that speaking in tongues will do for every one of us is it gets us more and more and more conscious, all right, of the person, of the Spirit and His ministry. Because you were not sent on this journey on your own. You were not meant to be on your own. And that's why we began this morning with Carrie Job's song, I Am Not Alone. You are not, child of God. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, you are not alone. Allow the Holy Ghost. Allow Him. Okay, so Romans chapter 8. We've looked at it. We'll look at it again today. Romans 8. Don't forget the two-part system. Number one. Or the two things to focus on. Number one was a two-part system. The other was a mystery. Mysteries are secret truths, hidden things. These are things that are hidden. They are not hidden from you, but they are hidden for you. All right? Not from you, all right, but for you. Maybe you have a toddler and then you have this great gift, all right? It is for your child, all right, but it is not time for you to give it to your child yet. So you keep it. Yes, it seems to be kept from, but yet again, you're keeping it for. All right. If your child handles it now, you know, like we all did when we were kids, and then our parents tell us the kind of toys we had, and you wonder, how did you guys allow me have that kind of thing and spoil it? Well, it was yours, and then you ripped it apart. They watched us, you know, rip it piece by piece, and then you must have seen a whole lot of kids do the same thing too. All right. So sometimes you keep it for. All right. It might seem as if it's from, but it is from for a season. All right, but eventually it is actually for. So there are certain things that are not on the surface where your life is concerned, right? Certain things that they are not just available to fling around. Okay, let's do it this. So we'll do 1 Corinthians 2 and then we'll come back to Romans chapter 8. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2. All right, Bible says in the 9th verse of 1 Corinthians 2, but as it is written, eye has not seen, neither has he heard, nor has it entered into the heart the things that God has prepared for them that love him. So God prepared great stuff for people who love him. This, all right, contextually is about the great plan of redemption, but this also could apply to every individual's pattern, all right, or life. Imagine we used Apostle Paul as an example yesterday. The believers, all right, didn't know even the plan that God had for Paul. So after he got born again and he tried mingling with them, some were afraid of him. Well, that's the guy that persecuted us. Maybe he's come like an undercover believer now to try and see what's happening in our midst and then to get us arrested. So eyes have not seen, even individual plans, even God's, all right, master plan for each person. Eye has not seen, neither has it, you know, hear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the thing that God has prepared for them that love him. Now, we also, you inclusive, have not seen that great plan that God has for you. You've got to understand this. All right, but Bible says God reveals these things to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. I like the way the Message translation puts it. It says the Spirit, not content with flitting around on the surface, dives deep into the very depths of God. The Spirit, not content with flitting around on the surface. All right. So you find that there's a lot going on the surface. There's surface Christianity. There's surface relationship with God. Surface. But then there's a diving deep. All right. When you begin to uncover the very depths of God's agenda, all right, for your life, let's have something in mind. Okay. No matter how long we spend on this earth, it is nothing compared with eternity. God has deep plans, deep thoughts. All right. So verse 6 of this 1 Corinthians 2 says, however, we speak the wisdom of God amongst them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the rulers of this world that come to nothing. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Mystery, secret things. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained unto. So the wisdom, the secret things that God has for us in Christ, and even us individually, they are hidden. It now says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So you find that even sometimes when hardships come, the hardships are coming to destroy us, but God would use those same hardships, all right, and then strengthen us, not because he sent them to us, but he would use them, all right. Joseph's brothers thought they were selling him and getting rid of him for the rest of their lives. I mean, the good riddance to bad rubbish, to whatever with him. Let's get him out. I mean, if we can't kill him, let's sell him. And not knowing that they were only posting him into their future. Isn't that interesting? They thought they were getting rid of him, but they only posted him into their future. And thank God Joseph had that kind of perspective. If not, he would have killed his brothers. He said to them, what was meant for evil, God turned it around for good. And that's a perspective very many believers need to have. Oh, they're laying people off. Maybe I'm going to be laid off. Maybe you might even have been laid off right now. What is meant for evil will turn for good. What is meant for evil will turn for good. Oh, business isn't moving. In fact, my kind of business right now has been shut down for quite a while. What seems to be meant for evil will turn around for good. You've got to see, all right, that there is a hidden plan. Now, not because this layoff is God's hidden plan, but no matter what it is you're going through, had the devil known, all right, had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So whatever move the devil makes against you, God turns it around. All right, eventually it becomes shame on the devil. Did you get that? No matter the move he makes against you to knock you out, to knock your family out, to knock your business out, to knock your health out, you stand firm on God's word. You keep praying in the Holy Ghost. You keep doing all the things you need to do. You keep staying patient, waiting for the directions of God, and you would watch things turn around. So there is a deep plan. So when you and I spend time talking in tongues, what we're doing is we're engaging the Holy Ghost. And who is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is a person that knows the mind of God. He knows everything. I mean, I love the Reverend Keith Moore says it. The Holy Ghost knows everything about everything. The Holy Ghost knows every. He knows about automobiles. He knows about business. He knows about HR. He knows about handling babies. I mean, he knows about babies. He knows about every. He knows everything about everything. All right. The wisest man to live on this earth was Solomon. I mean, he gave proverbs. He talked about animals that he never read about anywhere. Who gave him wisdom? It was God. Right? God gave him wisdom as multitude as the sand of the seashore. Yes, you might say, but he used it. He was foolish. But God gave him wisdom. And there's much more wisdom from where that came from. All right? There's much more wisdom. So you and I can access this because we engage the Holy Ghost by. So when you learn to pray in tongues, you're engaging. You're engaging. Allow me. All right? Read this 1 Corinthians chapter 2 for us in the Message translation. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. All right? The Message translation of 1 Corinthians 2. I told you that in verse 10, the Bible is saying that the Spirit is not content. All right? We're just flitting around on the surface. Okay, so verse 10. I'll find 10 quickly. So message has to put them together. Alright, so found it. Okay, great. Oh, okay, yeah. So the Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. This is beautiful. The Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. I want you to note the fact that he's saying that the Spirit will bring out what God planned all along. There is a master plan. There is a master plan. There's a plan that God had mapped out for you and I from before we're born from our mother's wombs. All right? So continues to say, whoever knows what you're thinking and planning except you yourself. The same with God. I like this. The same with God, except that he not only knows what he is thinking, but he lets us in on it. All right. God brings us into his own thoughts. He lets us in on it. God offers a full report on the gifts of life and salvation that he's given us. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learn it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus. And we are passing it to you in the same first-hand way. 6:14 now. The unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, cannot receive the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going somewhere with this. Please follow me. The unspiritual self, right, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of the Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. This is where I'm going. Spirit can only be known by Spirit. Spirit can only be known by Spirit. God's Spirit and our Spirit in open communion. I love this. God's Spirit and our Spirit in open communion. Communion is an interaction. It's a deep fellowship. All right. It's a sharing of thoughts. All right. So it says God's Spirit and our own Spirit in open communion. God's Spirit and our Spirit. So when you talk in tongues, the Holy Ghost is there. He knows the mind of God. He knows what God is saying right now. And he brings that thought. He brings those thoughts. He brings them to you. He brings them to you. And let me just end it so you see that that's exactly, all right, what 1 Corinthians 2 is saying. All right, God's Spirit and our Spirit in open communion, spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing. This is amazing. Spiritually alive, you and I have access to everything God's Spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Isaiah's question, is there anyone around who knows God's Spirit? Anyone who knows what he is doing? Isaiah's question has been answered. Christ knows and we have Christ's Spirit. Please get this. He said, does anyone know what God's Spirit is doing? Anyone knows, you know, King James says, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? He now answers by saying, we have the mind of Christ. How did we get the mind of Christ? We got the mind of Christ because God gave us his Spirit, and the Spirit is the one that knows the thoughts of God. So when I pray in tongues, I'm engaging that mind of Christ that I've received. The Holy Ghost knows, listen, to us, things might seem gray. Gray. I want to make a decision between A, B, and C. It seems gray. Is it A? Is it B? Is it C? Before God, it's black and white. He sees it clearly. All right? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, all things are naked and open before him with whom we have to do. He sees everything plainly, clearly, clearly. All right. It's like, you know, you're looking at your table and then you see an ant. All right. Maybe you see a little bit of crumb somewhere and then you see the ant like a few centimeters away from where the crumb is. And then the ant has to maybe scale the obstacle. You have a pen, you have a book, you know, just picture what, you know, just picture something, right? The ant is trying to scale whatever thing you might have put on the table, all right, to get to the crumb. You see the ant, you see the crumb, you see the obstacles. You see everything. You're not trying to think, all right? So many of us think, oh, God is going to have to guess my next step and then my next. No, God sees a whole table. God sees a whole table. He sees the whole table. He knows where all your breadcrumbs are, all right? He leads you beside the still waters. He makes you lie down in green pastures. So he knows where all the breadcrumbs are. All right, so we are like that teeny-beeny, titsy-bitsy ant on that table trying to navigate from where we are because our senses, our sensory perception tells us there's something sweet, there's something great on that table. Breadcrumb, maybe sugar, maybe something. All right, you're picking it. And then God sees the direction. You know, when the Bible says, you trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, if you acknowledge him, he will direct your path. Psalm 32 verse 8 says, he will instruct you. He will lead you in the way you should go. He will guide you along the best pathway for your life. So you see the ant, you see the breadcrumb. The ant's trying to go this way. You're like, no, come on now. Go that other way and then go this other way and then go that other way and then this other way. So imagine if there was a communication system between you and the ant. You, all right, guy, where are you now? All right, yeah, I can see you. Okay, so, yeah, can you see me? No, but I can, you know, I know you're big. Oh, yeah, that big thing I can, yeah, good. And then you tell the ant, go left, turn right, go left, turn right. Imagine the ant now says, thank you, I've had enough. I can sort it out all by myself. You smile. I see the whole journey. I see the whole journey. Listen, God sees the whole, God sees like your 10 trillion years ahead from now. All right? Yeah, we won't be here all that well, but God sees all of that. He sees all of that. So you and I now engage him. All right? We engage his wisdom. We engage the master plan by spending more time praying in the Holy Ghost and following instructions. Now, if you spend time praying but you don't follow instructions, you might still get a little bit stuck. The reason being, you're praying out a lot, but you're not taking steps of faith. Bible says the just shall live by faith. Okay. Bible also says that we walk by faith and not by sight. So it's not enough to pray. Okay. So some might pray so much more, some seem to pray so much less, but they make moves. As they get those promptings and they get those signals, they make moves. They make moves. So check if you have pileups of things that God has revealed to you to do. Pray about them. Okay, Lord, are you still saying I should do any one of them? If the answer is yes, take steps. Be sure. Right, many of us could easily jump out of excitement. We could really jump out one new idea. Hey, one, you know, take our time and be clear. What is God asking you to do? So let's go now to that Romans chapter 8 that we had wanted to get to at the beginning. All right, so Romans chapter 8 tells us from the 26th verse that likewise the Spirit also helps us in our infirmities. Look, Romans chapter 8, 26. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Infirmities, they are weaknesses. It says, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Oh, but I want to pray for X. I want to pray for Y. I want to pray for Z. I know what I want to pray about. Bible is not saying you don't know what to pray about. It says you do not know what to pray for as you ought. As you ought. And I love a word here. Likewise, the Spirit also help it. Guys, God has sent us help. God has sent us help. Help in the place of prayer. Help. So one of the importance of praying in tongues is you've got help. You are not alone. Don't deal with that thing alone. All right? So God sent us help. Likewise, the Spirit helps us. So have you allowed the Holy Ghost to help you this week in prayer? Have you allowed him help you through your journey? Have you allowed him help you to deal with that thing you're going through? Have you allowed him? All right, because in the place of engaging him, it will come with wisdom. Jesus said the Holy Ghost will bring to you the remembrance of the things that I've said to you before now. He will bring verses your way. He will remind you of things you've read in books. He could even stir up a song that could be like your victory chant to a particular season. All right, the Holy Ghost is there to help you. He's not there just standing by, doing nothing, watching you sink in life. No, he is the greater one. And Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So when you learn to engage the Holy Ghost, you're engaging the greater one. So 26 again of Romans 8 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought, but his praise himself makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. 27 says, he that searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Ghost is there praying for you. All right. So that sounds like, oh, I go to bed, the Holy Ghost keeps praying for me. Well, he could pray for you through, you know, stirring up other believers to pray for you, but he prays for you also even as you open up your mouth to pray in the Holy Ghost. All right. So the Holy Ghost helps you to pray. He that searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So God's thoughts are revealed. All right, God's thoughts are known of by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost knows the thoughts of God, and then he reveals this to you. You go praying, you have three things on your mind. You pray the first day, still three things. You pray the first week, still those three things. You pray the first month, still those three things. Turn things up a notch. You could increase the prayer time, but you could increase worship. You could, you know, maybe fast a day or two. Just create sensitivity. Cut down things that might be carnal, things that might, you know, keep dazzling those confusions. You know, you're trying to make a decision, so you don't need to keep poking yourself with the things that bring more of, you know, those thoughts in front of you. Do you understand that? So it's like some, you know, you have two delicious meals offered to you, and then, do you want this? Do you want that? Do you want this? Do you want that? You end up saying, can I taste this? Can I taste that? Can I taste this? Can I taste that? If you get what I'm saying. So you want to have both. You want to have, you know, something from the two. But now you're trying to make a decision about life. You can't have something from the two. You have to have one. So the more you keep exposing yourself to the two, if you're not dealing with your mind properly, it keeps bringing about the confusion. Ah, and I want this one. Ah, and then I want this one. Ah, and then I think it could be this one. Ah, then I think it could be that one. God, can I just have both? You know, if you've been there, you understand what I'm saying. God, can I just have both? You know, but once again, it's to us, it looks gray. Before God, it's clearly black and white. God sees it plainly. God knows this yes, this no. All right, they might look good. I mean, it's easy to make a decision between good and bad, but it's not always easy to make a decision between good and great. Everything looks wonderful, all right, or good and good, or good and God. You know, every, you know, you could have a good great idea. You share with everybody, they go, wow, superb, excellent, fantastic. Oh, and everybody says what they want to say, and God says, nope. But how do you know? You know, you remember the story where David had to tell the prophet, I want to build God a house. Listen, the, you know, Ark of the Covenant has been intense. I mean, hey, but can I build God a house? I have a house. Let me build God a house. Remember what the prophet said? Good idea. Great idea. Wonderful idea. I'm sure every other person that might have heard it could have been, that is wonderful. Oh man, this king is just so awesome. And then God says, no. So you could have a fantastic idea. Everybody who heard it was clapping, screaming, hailing you, asking when you're going to start, let them know when you're about to kick it off and all of that. And then God says, no. So you have to learn to take things beyond the surface. All right? For all of us, where the plans of purposes of God for our lives are concerned, we're deep divers. All right? You got that? We're deep divers. We go deep. We go deep. We dive deep into the ocean. So 27 says, he that searches the heart. Hearts are deep, guys. He that searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. So there are three people involved. We have God, we have the saint that is praying, we have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost knows the mind of God. The Holy Ghost knows what the believer is thinking. Don't get it wrong. God, all right, the Holy Ghost is God. The Holy Ghost is God's Spirit. The Holy Ghost is on God's side. So not like the Holy Ghost has now gone convince God. No, the Holy Ghost being in us was God's idea to begin with. All right, don't forget that 1 Corinthians chapter 2, all right, that tells us eyes haven't seen, ears have not heard, all right, but he hasn't entered into the heart of mind, thing that God had prepared for them that love him, but God revealed it to us by his Spirit. So it was God's idea that the Holy Ghost reveals things to us, all right? In John 16:13, also Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, whatever he hears. So he's hearing from God. So the Holy Ghost is God's idea. So don't feel, well, the Holy Ghost is on my side. God is the one hiding things from me. The Holy Ghost is the one busy revealing things from me. I love the Holy Ghost. I love the Holy Ghost. He's always on my side. God, well, I don't know. God's always hiding things. No. All right. God hides it for you. Okay. And then God gives you his own Spirit so that he would guide you into every single detail of your life. You are not alone. You are never alone. Don't think you are. Don't feel, even if you feel it, tell yourself, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Some of us even have a lot of people around us. We look so extroverted. But there are very many times you feel alone. The Holy Ghost is ever with you. Okay, so the 28th verse now says, Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for the good of them, all right, that love God, all right, who are called according to his purpose, all right, so we know that God, so this is still connecting us back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that there is a master plan, all right, don't forget 1 Corinthians 2, don't forget verse 8 says, had they known that as the princes of this world, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So no matter how horrible things were getting, they were only working out the plan of God without them knowing that's what he's doing. All right. So Luke 28 here again says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So God has an agenda for your life. No matter how messed up it might seem to be going, you keep praying in tongues, you keep walking by faith, you keep obeying whatever it is that God is telling you, you'll find things rearranging themselves back into that ultimate plan. You might wonder, listen, Joseph wasn't in prison for 2 days, wasn't in prison for 10 weeks, wasn't in prison for 10 months, wasn't in prison for years. All right. So it might look like, oh, you know, and that's why Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12 say we need to learn to be followers of those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. You know, faith and patience. You know, I say, I think I've had enough. I think I've stayed enough. But we might be stepping out too soon, too prematurely. All right? Too prematurely. Bible now lets us know that Joseph was in prison until his word came. All right? Maybe he needed to be proved and tried and all of that. And then it was set. And the rest of his life was better than all whatever he might have gone through. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So Paul is saying when we talk in tongues, we allow the Holy Ghost. All right? The Holy Ghost helps. All right. And to help us here means he comes to join us to deal with the thing. He takes hold together with us. He comes to join us to deal with the thing. But you might be wondering, oh, you talk in tongues. You've been talking to us very well. But you feel like giving up. Why? Because you think it's fake. No. If you're born again, all right, then your tongues can be fake. But it sounds like what my sister used to say. Or it sounds like the one I used to mimic before I got born again. Or it sounds like this. Or it sounds like that. I'll quickly read you a verse or a portion of the Bible. All right. Luke 11, 11 says, if a man or if a son rather shall ask bread of any one of you who is a father, will he give him a stone? You have the answer. No. If he asks for fish, will he give him a snake? No. If he asks for egg, will he give him a scorpion? No. 13. If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? That's Luke 11, 11 to 13. Just saying, any child that asks, all right, for something, whether fish, whether, you know, egg or bread, you won't give him snake, you won't give him stone, you won't give him scorpion. All right, you would give your child the thing your child is asking for. Why then would you think God will give you a fake Holy Ghost? Why then would you think so? Yeah, but I'm just speaking one syllable. Keep at it. Like I told you yesterday, that's how I began. Some start fluently. Some start with just syllables. All right. Yeah, but I used to mimic tongues before I got born again. And now I'm saying what it sounds like. Keep at it. Just keep talking in tongues. Ignore what it sounds like in the sense that what you're speaking is not a human language. The words coming out of you, they are spiritual words. Yeah, but, you know, someone says, okay, so you're saying it's not fake. No, it's not. There's no fake tongues. Except you went on to go learn. Okay, say ba, ba. Say a, say b, b. Say c, say d, d. Oh, so I get it now. B, a, c, d. B, a, c, d. Then you copied what someone taught you, all right? Then it might seem like, oh, you went. But even at that, as long as you're born again, that thing looks like you copied. Just open up your mouth and flow with the Holy Ghost. You realize that you will say way, way off. You know, you just flow from your ba, ba, eba, la, ba, eba, la. And then just continue from there. All right, because the Holy Ghost within you gives you the words to speak. You know, so if you're there also, you feel, but yes, I've been prayed for many times. I just wish the Holy Ghost just forced those words through me. No, he wouldn't. All right, he wouldn't. Acts 2 verse 4, when they got born again, I mean, and filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Acts 2, 4, well, some would say, you know, the disciples got born again when Jesus breathed on them in John and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. And then, okay, but the Holy Ghost finally came. So, both ways anyway. So, either of the two, not both ways. Now, so you find in Acts 2 and verse 4, Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It didn't say the Spirit began to speak through them. They began. they began. So usually you have to make a move to, it could be you starting to praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, because I'm filled with your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And as you do that, be willing and ready to just allow the Spirit flow through you. Sometimes from there, he takes over. I've seen that happen. All right. But many other times, I know you just have to have that willingness to step out by faith and speak in other tongues. But whatever it is, whatever it is, I'll leave you with a statement that Paul made in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. Paul said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than ye all. Of course, two ways to look at it. 1 Corinthians 14 is talking about messaging tongues. So Paul might have said, I have utterance gifts. I have the capacity to give messaging tongues more than everybody here. Yet again, also, we know Paul could have just been saying, I talk in tongues privately. Right? Which, of course, which we see him say there that I'd rather talk, you know, 5 words in my known language in public and then 1,000, all right, words in tongues. So Paul spoke a lot in tongues. I want to encourage you, all right? Paul said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. And we know that Paul was a man of great revelation. So as you spend time talking in tongues this week, spend time talking in tongues from today, create moments, all right? Driving while at home, while working, just create moments of consistently talking in tongues. Like Paul, will be people of great revelation. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is the revealer. And the more you talk in tongues, the more you engage him as the revealer. I believe once again you've been blessed. Thank you for tuning in all the time. Looking forward to having you here with me tomorrow. Have a beautiful tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled day. Yep. Bye. Refuge in the storm.